Okay, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 24. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maitreya Uvacha. Evam Sanjaltitam Matur. Akarya tagamam vacha sanayam yatmana matnam nishchakrama patuparat. The great sage Maitreya continued, the instruction of Dhruva Maharaja's mother Suniti was actually meant for fulfilling his desired objective. Therefore, after deliberate consideration and with intelligence and fixed determination, he left his father's house. Okay. Both the mother and the son were lamenting Dhruva Maharaja's having been insulted by his stepmother and his father's not having taken any step on this issue. But mere lamentation is useless. One should find out the means to mitigate one's lamentation. Thus, both mother and son decided to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, because that is the only solution to all material problems. It is indicated in this connection that Dhruva Maharaj left his father's capital city to go to the secluded place to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the instruction of Prahlad also that if one is seeking peace of mind, he should free himself from all material life and take shelter of the Supreme Godhead by going to the forest. To the Gaudiya Vaishnav, this forest is the forest of Vrinda or Vrindavan. One takes shelter of Vrindavan under Vrindavaneshwari, Srimati Radharani, certainly all the problems of his life are solved very easily. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksur and Lalitam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Napitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudegaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from Stuyvesant Falls. Sometimes I call it the Sun Falls. The best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. I didn't read that much when I was a young person, but I do remember reading John Steinbeck's book of Mice and Men. Best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. Man proposes, God disposes. So I'm in the process of trying to get an apartment in New York. We have a donor for that, so I can increase the preaching there. I was supposed to start some programs actually yesterday, but we had to delay, and we're in the process of It's amazing. This is just what I finally shall share it. That to get an apartment in New York, you have to have a guarantor who pays, who can show an income of 80 times the rent. So that will hopefully will work it out this week, and we'll be able to increase the spreading of Krishna consciousness in New York. Anyway, I came upstate. I came upstate for a few days to take shelter here and then chart out our next strategy. Hopefully we'll get it by next week. That'll be a nice contribution to the preaching. So we're in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. One of the stories that it's discussed in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is learning from Gadadhar Pandit in the Gota Gopinath. Gadadhar Pandit being Sri Radha in Gaur Leela, and serving, because Radha is always serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the mission of Krishna, to experience the great love of Radha so Krishna cannot be complete in his enjoyment. Krishna is the object of love, the subject of love, or the lover enjoys more. So for God to be complete in his perfection and love, he also has to become his own devotee, and that's the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's an Acharya Leela. It shows us, it teaches us. Because God to be perfect has to become his own devotee. So it teaches us, the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us how to become a devotee. And very interesting, there were two stories. Two Bhagavata love stories. I forgot. One of them was Dhruva Maharaj, where Gadadhar Pandit is lecturing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because it's a story of great determination. And to succeed in any endeavor, you need determination. So it's a story of great determination. So to increase your determination, which is essential. we fail because we lack determination. Our will is not strong enough. So we read, so Lord Chaitanya was very inspired by reading this and hearing this story and hearing the commentaries on this story on Dhruva Maharaj's complete determination to fulfill his desire and the determination to do that was approaching the Supreme Personality of God. And that's our philosophy. Akama, sarva kama, va moksha kama, udharadi, tavrena bhakti yogena, yajeta purusham param. Akama, whether you have no desire, moksha kama, sarva karma. You desire liberation, you have no personal desire. Sarva kama, you have all desires. Tavrena bhakti yogena. You should forcefully worship God. And that's what Dhruva Maharaj did. He forcibly, determinedly worshiped God. He had some motive, but he was worshiping God. And somehow or other, his mother realized that. Because we're not the controllers. So many things are beyond our ability. We have to get the grace of God. Look at Prabhupada's example. An elderly man coming to America with a mission. How is it possible? It's possible by the mercy of God. So his mother was just being very frank that your desire cannot be fulfilled within your karma, within your situation. So you have to approach God and worship God. Tim Raina, very, very forcibly. And Dhruva Maharaj took that to heart. He used his nature to serve God, and his nature was a very determined, proud Kshatriya. So they have great determination. So he just applied that determination. In the worship of God. And that's what his mother is recommending. And in the commentary, take shelter in Vrindavan under Radha. And then anything is possible. Anything's fine. That's our faith. Our faith that God can do anything. So, ultimately, we take shelter of Him. Okay, I'm going to go to the next verse. Text 25. Nara dastad upakarya. Gatvatasya chikirshitam shvishvamur jagamena anina prahavismita. The great sage Narada overheard this news, and understanding all the activities of Dhruva Maharaj, he was struck with wonder. He approached Dhruva and touching the boy's head with his all virtuous hand, he spoke as follows. So Upakarmya, he was overhearing, Narada overheard, Ramyakata, the village, the news, this was the son of the king. So the news travels quickly, but also there's a transcendental system. So Narada is Trikalagya. He has knowing all three phases of time, but also the transcendental system. God is in one's heart, and God is in the heart of this pure devotee. So your desires, your sincere desires will be transferred to a devotee, whom God will send to you. And that's the secret of spiritual life. If you sincerely want to advance in spiritual life, then go deep in your heart and pray for Sadhu Sangha. And God will make the connection with the transcendental system. The transcendental system is the connection of your heart to the ears of God, and the voice of God to the ears of a great soul. It's all based on the depth of the sincerity of our heart. Do we really want the truth and all that means? That's where bhakti comes down. It goes down to going in your heart very, very deeply and really wanting the truth. If you want the truth, you'll get the truth. But what does the truth mean? The truth means that some things that you like have to go, and some things that you don't like, you have to accept. Our desires are not necessarily the truth, so the truth won't necessarily conform to our desires. So really, that's just the basis of spiritual life, how much you want the truth and how much you have faith in the truth, that the truth will actually make you happy. That happiness is a matter of your consciousness, not a matter of your world. Our desires mostly are a matter of our world. But happiness is a question of our consciousness. And sometimes to make us happy, then things that we want in the world have to go and things that we don't want in our world have to come. So it's a great challenge. And I know myself, in those moments in Vrindavan where you really can concentrate on your bhajan and your spiritual life, and you go deep, 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 deep into your heart, you'll reach a barrier. And that barrier will be, how much do you really want God and all that means? How much is love more important than anything else in your life? So there is a transcendental system. Bhakti is based on that transcendental system. And some here have here that Narada, you know, Dhruva had this desire, and Narada somehow knows. It's not exactly historically recorded. Some things just the village news spread quickly. Another is that Narada is just this tree kala gya. He knows three phases of time. But somehow or other, Narada hears this news, and then he's struck with wonder because it's a young boy with such determination. Spiritual life is about God and the devotees hearing our heart. And our heart has a different language, but it can be heard. It can be heard. Bhakti is when our heart pleases God, not just our words, not just our actions. Of course, if our actions and our words are a product of the pure heart, then that's fine. But God actually hears our heart. The devotee can hear our heart. So they heard through his heart. And he came, and he approached Dhruva, it says, and he touched the boy's head with his all-virtuous hand and spoke as follows. Purport, when Dhruva Maharaj was talking with his mother, Suniti, of all the incidents that had taken place in the palace, Narada was not present. Thus the question may be raised how Narada overheard all these topics. The answer is that Narada is Trikala Gya. He's so powerful that he can understand the past, present, the past, future, and present of everyone's heart, just like the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, after understanding the strong determination of Dhruva Maharaj, Narada came to help him. It may be explained in this way: the Supreme Personality of Godhead isn't present in everyone's heart. As soon as he understands that living entity is serious about entering devotional service, he sends his representative. Most important thing in devotional service is sadhu sangha. I always make that point. That bhakti, the path of Gyan, the tracks of the path of Gyan, of Vairagya, but the tracks of the path of Bhakti is Sadhu Sangha. And when we go in our heart, and we go to that point, and we go deeper than that point, and we actually want to advance, we actually want instruction, we actually want the guidance, and we're ready to accept it, no matter how much it challenges my attachments, that voice of sincerity God hears, And through the transcendental system, as Prabhupada mentioned, how he met his guru, the transcendental system, then the super soul in your heart who hears your voice, the same super soul is in the heart of the sadhu, and God has heard that one is ready to enter devotional service, and he sends his representative. Everything about bhakti is sincerity. Bhakti means sincerity. Bhakti means you want to the truth. You want the truth. And then God will give you the truth. This way, Narada was sent to Dhruva Maharaj. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai, Bhakti Lata Beach, Ramanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai, Bhakti Lata Beach. By the grace of the spiritual master in Krishna, one can enter into devotional service. Because of Dhruva Maharaj's determination, Krishna, the super soul, immediately sent his representative, Narada, to initiate him. Really all lies in the sincerity of the heart. Bhakti is sincerity. There's no difference. I want to please God. Yabilashita shunyam jnana karma dinavritam. Without any other motive. That's what spiritual life is. That's what beauty is. Purity. What is purity? You're not selfish. That's purity. You want something higher than yourself. Text 26. Oh, yeah, I should make a point, too, in that you see in this story, Narada was pleased because any time a great soul sees someone make sacrifice of comforts or facility, make sacrifice for the truth, it pleases God. God wants the best for us. Krishna wants the best. And the truth is the best. So when someone sacrifices, what's it speak? He's sacrificing royal comfort. Happy to see souls advancing towards God. Yes, that's the thing. And so when God sees the sincerity, a lot of times the sincerity is visible within the sacrifice we make. Our heart can be seen in the sacrifice we make for truth. And God sees that and reciprocates with that. Here it also says that Narada was surprised. He was surprised. Vismita. He's being surprised. It means smita means smile. So Narada always had a smile from his happiness, his devotion, but vismita, he means more smile. It means he was astonished. To see how this young Kshatriya boy, only 5 years old, was so intolerable. He couldn't accept harsh words. Okay, next verse. Ajoteja Shatyanam Manabhagam Amishitam Balopiyam Vidadate Yatamaturasadvasa. How wonderful are the powerful Kshatriyas. They cannot even tolerate even a slight infringement upon their prestige. Just imagine, this boy is only a small child, yet harsh words from his stepmother proved unbearable to him. So one would take a role in society according to his modes. So a Kshatriya was pure. The Brahma was in goodness. The Kshatriya was in passion. The Vaishya passion mixed with ignorance, and the Sudra was in ignorance. That was the predominant mode. So this is the manifestation of that mode. And bhakti means that whatever your situation is, you give it to Krishna. But you still have that tendency or nature. So he has this passion. I remember Prabhupada was talking about, I forgot, one of the wars in the Southeast Asia. He said an American president was a Kshatriya. You know, he'd say one hair on the head of a man that would be fighting. So how wonderful are the powerful Kshatriyas. Qualifications of Kshatriyas are described in Bhagavad Gita. Two important qualifications are to have a sense of prestige and not to flee from battle. It appears that the Kshatriya blood within the body of Dhruva Maharaja was naturally very active. If the Brahminical Kshatriya or Vaishya culture is maintained in a family, naturally the sons and grandsons inherit the spirit of the particular class. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, the samskara, the reformatory system, is maintained very rigidly. If one fails to observe the reformatory measures current in the family, one is immediately degraded to a lower standard of life. So there's samskara means impression, and it's also the functions that make good impressions are called samskaras. So there are reformatory samskaras to give the proper impressions. And they were maintained very, very properly. So that one would not be degraded, that he would be inoculated by certain good impressions in the consciousness that would enable them to do their duty in a proper way. Narada uvacha nadunapya yavamanam te samanam vapti putraka vakshayama kumarasya saktasya pidanadishu. The great sage Narada told Dhruva, my dear boy, you are only a little boy whose attachment is to sports and other frivolities. Why are you so affected by words insulting your honor? Purport, ordinarily, if a child is rebuked as a rascal or fool, he smiles and does not take insulting words very seriously. Similarly, if words of honor are offered, he does not appreciate them. In the case of Dhruva Maharaja, the Kshatriya spirit was so strong that he could not tolerate a slight insult from his stepmother, which injured his Kshatriya prestige. So Narada is telling him, why are you so upset? You know, a child doesn't take these things seriously. If you give a Nobel Prize to an adult, it's a big thing, but for a child, it's nothing. One commentator said that Narada told him, you know, your father, Uttanapad, your father Uttanapad is my disciple, and I'll speak to him. And Narada was like, no, I have no interest in his love affection. He was so determined now. He had so much determination now. Yeah, so someone has that kind of nature. And the way they become purified of it is you regulate it and use it, not that you renounce it. So someone in Kshatriya is purely impassioned. So they had a certain type of pride. And the preaching wasn't not to really necessarily give up that pride, but to use it in the proper way to defend nobility. 28. Vikalpe vidyamaneti naya santosha hetava puso mohanvite vinaya loka nija karmavi. My dear Dhruva, if you feel that your sense of honor has been insulted, you still have no cause for dissatisfaction. This kind of dissatisfaction is another feature of the illusory energy. Every living entity is controlled by his previous actions, and therefore there are different varieties of life for enjoying and suffering. So it's destiny. Respect and disrespect are going to continue. And only if you're under the illusion, he's saying, that your body will you be affected. It's karma. It'll come. So it's not even you. Just like the story of Jetta Bhart, when King Rahugana, saw that he was very strong and powerful and made him as one of the carriers of his chariot. But because he wouldn't step on ants, then the chariot began to move chariot began to move in an uneven way. And the king insulted him. You fool, you're dumb, et cetera, and he said, yeah, so on the bodily platform, yes. So not the body, I'm not gonna be affected by that. And happiness and distress are due to one's previous actions. So it's a fair, this is philosophical, a fair payoff. Don't complain, you have purchased whatever you reap. This is a spiritually conscious person, he knows this. Don't complain. Tateinu kampam susamik shamano. It's coming, don't complain. It's a fair payoff. Just learn your lessons. And then, Suruchi is not the cause, the stepwife's not the cause of your difficulty. Otherwise, she would not have allowed you to be born as the elder son of your father. And that one's past actions are the cause of what's happening to you and not any person. So he's preaching to him very, very philosophically. Purport, in the Vedas it said that the living entity is always uncontaminated and unaffected by material association. It's like when the moon is reflected in a pot of water and you give the pot of water to a child, it's a little heavy, it'll begin to shake. And the child will think that the moon is moving, but the moon is not moving. So when you're free from misidentification with the body and illusion, then you're not affected by the changes of body. Heno smin yata dehe komaranyo vanam jara tata dehantara praptir diras tatsanamute. As the embodied soul passes from boyhood to childhood to youth to old age, similarly at the time of death, one will accept another body. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. And when Prabhupada came to leave the world, I was in Vrindavan and I came into his room. And he said, what is death but a change of body? And he just quoted the verse. So he's giving Dhruva some very philosophical, what are you so insulted for? The living entity gets different types of material bodies because of his previous fruitive activities. However, one understands the philosophy that as a living soul, he has an affinity to neither suffering nor enjoyment, then he's considered a liberated person. So Narada is telling him, you know, suffering and enjoyment, it's these kind of dualities, they shouldn't affect us. Suffering and enjoyment. The world moves according to our way. The world moves against our way. Our suffering and happiness is just a mental conception. There's not really that much distinction between them. As they say, you know, happiness doesn't come to the self. Happiness doesn't come to the self. It radiates from the self. Our happiness is our consciousness, not the configuration of things around us, because if it was, then the configuration of things around us would have the same effect on every person. But sometimes you see a person's very poor and he's happy, and somebody's rich and he's unhappy. It means that the happiness is not that configuration of things. It's the nature of your consciousness. So therefore, one who's a liberated soul, he's equal in happiness and distress. Marcha, sparsha, stakontaya, sitoshna, sukaduka, da, agama, payano, nitya. As the embodied soul, what is that? The non-appearance. The non-appearance of the appearance and non-appearance of happiness and distress is like the changing of this winter and summer seasons, and one should not be disturbed by these dualities. Because either way, happiness or distress, they're not really a flourishing of the soul. So he's preaching to him. It's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8:54, Brahma Bhuta Pasana. When one is actually situated on the transcendental platform, he has nothing which to lament and nothing for which to hanker. Narada Rishi, first of all, wanted to impress upon Dhruvamurti that he was only a child. He should not have been affected by the words of insult or honor. And if he was so developed as to understand honor and insult, then this understanding should have been applied in his own life. He should have known that honor and dishonor are both destined only by one's previous action. Therefore, one should not be sorry or happy under any circumstances. Because whatever comes to us is for us. So we should be on that duality. It's for us to elevate our consciousness, which is real happiness. 8:29. Yeah, I drove up here yesterday, and then I went out to Raghunath's to see his place and drove back here. So I'm a little disoriented today. I can feel it. Not the clarity of thought that I would like. Which is also humbling, because you realize that everything is up to God. We'll read some more. Vrishtu shyeta tastata tavarnatvena purusha aiva upasaditam yavad vikshyeshvar gatim buddha. The process of the Supreme Personality of God, it is very wonderful. One who's intelligent should accept that process and be satisfied with whatever comes, favorable or unfavorable, by his supreme will. So this is basically glad. Don't be disturbed. Happiness and distress is coming by the will of God in response to your karma, in terms of what you need to move closer to him. So in that sense, it's beyond duality. Everything is the same. It's what God is giving us to come closer to him. The material happiness is not happiness. It's happiness when you're desiring it, not when you have it. because it's not consciousness. So the expectation of it is greater than the experience of it. And if we actually are pensive, we'll see this all the time, that the expectation of a happiness is much greater than the happiness itself. Because the happiness itself on the material platform is divorced from the soul. So it's always disappointing. The great sage Narada instructed Dhruva Maharaja that one should be satisfied in all circumstances. Everyone who is intelligent should know that because of our concept of bodily existence, we are subject to suffering and enjoyment. One who is in the transcendental position beyond the concept of bodily life is considered to be intelligent. One who is a devotee especially accepts all reverses as gifts of the Lord, Supreme Lord. When the devotee is put into distress, he accepts this as God's mercy and offers him repeated obeisances with his body and mind. An intelligent person, therefore, should always be satisfied depending on the mercy of God. This is what's called here the process of the Supreme Person, the Ishvara Gatim, the process of God, Ishvara Gatim. Buddha, one who is intelligent, should see the process. And what is the process? That everything comes to us is for us to bring us closer to God. And therefore, one should be free from duality. So Narada is trying to tell Dhruva that if it is not your destiny to be the king, it will not happen no matter what. Therefore, whatever one gets by his destiny, they should be happy and be satisfied. And one who has this will be happy. Because what is our anxiety? Our anxiety is generally not what we have, it's what we don't have. That's our anxiety. Our anxiety, generally this situation, right now, everyone is on this phone. What's the problem? So situations are generally, so one should be basically satisfied. Because happiness is consciousness, it's not things. Her name is Itti Hellison, I believe. She was in Auschwitz. She said, it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. Whether you're the perpetrators or the victim, or I mean, we can take it to limits. But the basic point is that happiness is consciousness. And therefore we see people who are very wealthy who are hankering for more and smile and people and simple people who are satisfied. And he said, you should just be satisfied. I'll do one more. Atamaitro padishtena yogena varutasi yat pasaram savaipum so durarado matomata. Now you've decided to undertake the mystic process of meditation under the instruction of your mother, just to achieve the mercy of the Lord. But in my opinion, such austerities are not possible for any ordinary man. Very difficult to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narada is just testing. Because there's a preliminary qualification for everything. So even in a spiritual path, if you try to practice too far above your adhikari, then you won't be successful. You'll waste your time. You want to perform some, I'm going to chant, you know, 2 lakhs of names, and you try it, but what will happen? You'll just be thinking of all nonsense, and what will you be doing? It's better to do according to your adhikari, your qualification. Purport, the process of bhakti yoga is simultaneously very difficult and very easy to perform. It's difficult It's easy because there's no material qualification. It's difficult because there's a spiritual qualification. It's like surrender is something anyone can do, but on a material platform. One can immediately play as a basis. One can immediately surrender to Guru and Krishna. But it's difficult on a spiritual platform. Therefore, Prabhupada said the process is simple, the application is difficult. Sri Narada Muni, the Supreme Spiritual Master, is testing Dhruva Maharaj to see how determined he is to prosecute devotional service. This is the process of accepting a disciple. Because one should not make commitments that one cannot adhere to. Great sage Narada has come to Dhruva under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to initiate him, yet he is testing Dhruva's determination to execute the process. It's a fact, however, that for a sincere person, devotional service is very easy. But for one who is not determined and sincere, this process is difficulty. Bhakti is sincerity. It's sincerity. It's the integrity of the process of pleasing Krishna and actually wanting to do so. So that the process is very simple. So he's testing his determination. It's like when you're going to bang a nail in the wall, better shake it first, because if it's not embedded strong enough, then the bang to move it further will only knock it down. It's the same thing with spiritual life. The power of an instruction or a process when one is not firmly rooted will only make one fail. So he's seeing first, he's testing him. He's testing him to see that his determination. Okay, I'm going to stop for now. Would anybody like to ask any questions? Would anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, obeisances, it's Hanan.
Nice to hear from you again.
Thank you, Maharaj. I had a question in my mind when you were speaking about satisfaction, that sometimes we're not satisfied with our service or with what's happening to us spiritually. Like yesterday I was hearing in the Lilamrita how Prabhupada was so upset because he heard they are stealing in Bombay some construction materials and he didn't even want to eat. Or when Brahmananda asked him, why you don't eat, he said, how can I eat? They're stealing my money. So can you speak a little bit about the balance between being satisfied and at the same time concern about our service or our progress?
Yeah, well, I think Prabhupada was dissatisfied, but it's not that he wasn't dissatisfied in his heart and his service for Krishna. He was dissatisfied with what was happening around him externally. So, and of course, there's some type of question also of humility when one is very, very pure. If you have a clean glass of water, then you'll see all the impurities that are in the water. So it's a question also that someone is very advanced, that he may also see within himself some weaknesses, some fault. But the general principle is that suffering is a crime against nature. When you go against nature, you suffer, and that's the symptom. The symptom of suffering, of going against your nature, is suffering on every platform, including spiritually. So we don't think Prabhupada was suffering. You know, it wasn't a symptom that he was doing something wrong. It was a symptom of his love for Krishna, that something was not going proper. So it's a different feeling in the heart when someone is suffering and it's related to doing something wrong. Does that help?
Yeah, thank you. It's really interesting. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, Vanshikopa.
Yes.